and Savior Jesus Christ. Most people who are born with two ears, one on each side of their head. And I've entitled the message this morning, Ears to Hear. Now, Jesus refers to that statement a number of times in the Gospels. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The main passage I'll be looking at this morning is in Mark chapter 4. I invite you to turn to there. Now, our ears, the outer ear is what we see as visible ear on the side of our head, and then it's the auditory canal, which takes the sound waves in to the eardrum, and then the eardrum vibrates, and from there, the vibrations go through the middle ear through what we call the auditory ossicles, or commonly called the hammer, anvil, and stirrups. And those vibrations are transferred over to the inner ear, where we have the cochlea. And inside the cochlea, there are thousands of tiny hair cells that are attached to nerves. And those nerves transfer messages through the auditory nerve to the temporal lobe, which is the center of hearing for our brain. And from there, we process what we hear. There's also another part in the inner ear that has three semicircular canals. And it's not a part of our hearing necessarily, but it's a very important factor in us being able to keep our balance. Those canals have some fluid, and as I tilt my head, that fluid moves and it sends messages to the brain, which then sends messages to the muscles to adjust themselves so I can keep my balance. And so whenever you move your head, that fluid stuff moves in the semicircular canals, and it's very important for you to maintain your balance. If you get a disease in that area, in those canals, or they deteriorate, you have a problem. You have a hard time keeping yourself upright and balanced. So hearing involves just simply the physical aspects of how the sound waves reach our ear. They go in, and it transfers to the brain, and then there's a mental process that happens as we process what we have heard. But there's also a spiritual aspect to hearing. In Revelation, when Jesus is giving the messages to the seven churches, at the end of addressing each church, he says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." And so hearing involves our physical, mental, and spiritual parts of us. Now, in Mark chapter 4, I'll be reading the first 25 verses. It's what we call the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. "And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, or listen, hear what I'm going to tell you. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth, some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when Jesus refers to that statement, if you have ears to hear, let him hear, there's more than just hearing. I think we could say it's he that hath ears to hear, let him understand. Perceive what I'm saying. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And so they heard the parable, but the understanding wasn't there yet. They didn't quite understand what was being taught. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And so Jesus is teaching here about the different kinds of soils, or we could say the different kinds of hearts that people have, in how receptive our hearts are to the Word of God. And notice in when Jesus goes on and explains this parable to the disciples, each heart or each soil received or heard the Word. Not one is excluded. Everyone heard the word, but there were different responses. Maybe just backing up a little bit, when Jesus said, If any man have ears to hear, let him hear, in verse 9, and I think that contrasts with verse 12, where it's saying that hearing they may hear and not understand. And I think that is a result of the bend of our hearts. When our hearts are closed or not receptive to hearing things that we don't like, there's a lack of understanding that happens, and our hearts remain closed. God wants our understanding to be opened, and it opens as we turn our hearts towards Him. Allow the spiritual bend of your heart to be turned towards God. And so the word was heard, and some are like the wayside. Beside the road, it's hard, it's rocky, it's not a place for a seed to germinate and grow. And that's the way some hearts are. It's in one ear, out the other. Simply a physical action where the vibrations were detected and the message was sent to the brain, but there was no processing, no understanding of what was being taught. It's like water off a duck's back. No understanding. Those on stony ground where there's maybe a little bit of soil, and so there's a little germination, people hear the word. Sounds like a good deal. I think I'll give it a try. But later, when difficulties come, oh, I didn't realize this is part of the deal. And we give up. And there's not the ongoing perseverance and endurance. The thorny ground. When we till our garden, you know, things look nice and clean, looks like a perfect seed bed for good seed. And we plant. And there's growth there. But it's a good place for weeds to grow as well. And unless we take care of the competition, eventually the seed that we sow, that we want to nurture, and we want to produce fruit will be choked out if we don't take care of the weeds. There's distractions that gradually sap energy from the good. And then there's good soil, where the word of God is heard. And there's ongoing care given to provide nourishment, nutrients to the growth of the good plant. And that's the heart that we want to have a heart that is receptive. And then when we hear more of the word, we receive, we understand, and it impacts the choices we make so that the word can grow and bring forth fruit. And then in verse 21 and 22, Jesus is talking about a candle. A candle is not made to be put under a bed or a bushel, but it's made to be put on a candlestick so it gives light around it. And I think that's what Jesus was doing in expounding this parable. It's like exposing the truth to the disciples. This is what I'm teaching you. There's no hidden meanings here. I'm telling you what we have here, this parable, what it means. And then he says again, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And for those who hear and understand, there's more learning that can happen. As he says in the end of verse 24, unto you that hear shall more be given. Think that the hunger for learning, the hunger for understanding is something we want to continue to develop within our being. Let's not be satisfied with what I know now, but let's continue to know more. To know more of the Word of God, to know more about Him, to know more about creation. There's a lot of information out there. Let's have our hearts bent towards God and learn the things that are approved by Him. The first part of 24, there's a statement that says, take heed what ye hear. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 8, it says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about what we hear and how we hear. First of all, what we hear. What we hear has a lot of influence on how we think. There's an abundance of things we can listen to. We can pull out our phones and with a few taps on that phone, we can get podcasts on a multitude of topics. And we have the ability to have constant input through our ears to our brain. There's the ability to have a lot of good things entering our ears. And there's also the potential to have a lot of bad things or time wasters entering our ears. What are we listening to? There are five things that I have listed here, just sort of questions of what we're listening to, how does it impact us? The things we listen to, are they, one, life-giving? Does it help us to have an outlook of hope on life? Or do we constantly listen to things that cause negativity in our lives? Is it life-giving to you, the things you listen to? Second, the things you listen to, are they bettering you as a person? Is it character building? Does it help you to be a person of integrity, helping you make wise decisions in life? Three, does it increase your knowledge of the natural world? In Scripture, it frequently points to creation as evidence of God being who he said he is. And I think just the exploring of creation is a wonderful thing, finding out more of what God has created. And it gives us a better perspective of who God is. Fourthly, the things you listen to, is it helpful in understanding and relating to other people? Is it bridge building in your relationships, or is it hampering relationships? There's a lot of social media out there, and it can be very helpful in staying in touch with a lot of people. But it's also a place where people write things, post things that they probably wouldn't say face to face. And just encourage you, are you listening to things that are bridge building in relationships, that are helpful? And fifthly, Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The things we are listening to, does it help us to form the mind of Christ in our lives? And the mind of Christ, as it goes on in that passage in Philippians, it talks about his humility, the servant role that he embraced. And it's important that we have that mindset, a mindset of humility. I've already seen this illustration where the knowledge that I have, if that is in this sphere, and everything out around is the unknown, the more knowledge I get, the greater the surface is that comes in contact with the unknown. And whenever I become arrogant with the amount of knowledge I have about a subject, all I'm doing is showing a warped perspective of my own knowledge. The more we know, the more we should be made aware of how much we don't know. We should have a mind of humility. Philippians 4, verse 8, has a list of things that are encouraged to think about, where it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So there's a lot of things we can listen to. There's a lot of good out there, there's a lot of bad out there, and there's a lot that may simply be time wasters for us. But how do the things we listen to shape us in who we are? It will shape us. Are we listening to things that conform us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ? Let's not be like that seed that was sown among the thorns, where the seed germinated, it started growing, but there was so much other things that we were taking in that it took away the energy, and the plant eventually was stifled and couldn't grow and mature and bear fruit. Listen to the things that help us to be more like Christ. In Luke 8, verse 18, Christ refers to in this account, it talks about the parable of the sower as well, and at the end it says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And I'd like to talk just briefly about how we hear things. Back in the Old Testament, in the story of Saul and David, after David was victorious in a battle, came back, and the women came out, and they started saying to each other, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Now, a lot of people heard that saying, but there was one man who heard that saying who came to a different conclusion than what other people did. Saul, when he heard it, he read things into that statement that I don't think those ladies had any intention that he reads into it. They were simply affirming, "Saul, you've slain your thousands. You've done a good job. David, you've done even better. You've slain 10,000s. But for Saul, the way he processed what he heard ended up in a lot of ugly relationships and the killing of people, getting rid of them. And so let's be careful how we process what we hear. I assume most of us have misinterpreted things we have heard because we assigned incorrect motives to the words. Maybe it's because of past experiences with a person, and when that person makes a statement, we read things into the statement that may not have been intended. I've done it already, and I assume most of us have. Let's be careful how we hear. In a strained relationship, you can have the same saying, and in a good relationship versus a bad relationship, you can read completely different things. If you're in a marriage and you have a strained marriage and your spouse comes and says, "I love you," it can go different directions. One may, well, what are you trying to get at? What's your motive in saying that if you're in a strained relationship? And there's suspicion. There's something he's after. Whereas if it's a delightful relationship, it's affirming. And there's no suspicion of ulterior motives behind it. And so one, how we perceive a statement has a lot to do with how we relate to people. If you're in good relationships, you don't tend to read wrong things into it. In Proverbs 18:19, it says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." And I think that sort of brings out the point. When there's an offense, if I really offend someone, it's very hard for me to say anything right according to that person. We just can't do it. There's always, things are read into it. And so I just like to caution us, be careful how we hear. How do we listen to the Lord? In Psalm 18, verse 19, this is a psalm of David. 18, verse 19, he says, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." Now, how do you think a person will listen to the Lord if he perceives the Lord as delighting in me? So take that response and compare that with Jonah's response when the Lord spoke to him to go to Nineveh. Do you think Jonah had a perspective of the Lord delighting in him when the Lord told him to go to Nineveh? I don't think he felt being delighted in at all. He rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And so how we perceive the Lord has a lot to do with how we hear. If I see the Lord as delighting in me, I will hear very differently than if I perceive God as being sort of an authoritarian. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If I delight in Jesus, I will realize that this is something that I will embrace, to keep his commandments. His commandments will be a delight because I realize they're for my benefit, they're for my good. But if I see Jesus as an authoritarian, oh, he just wants me to listen, I will respond differently to that. And so how do we hear? Be careful. Remember, the Lord does delight in his creation, in each one of us as human beings. And let's listen from that perspective. Take heed how ye hear. In Psalm 46, it's a psalm where there's quite a bit of turbulence going on. It says, "Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." And then it says, "Be still." That's sometimes pretty difficult to do in the midst of turbulent times, to be still and know that I am God. Can we still hear? Can we hear the still, small voice of God speaking? Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, running for his life, he came to, I think it was Mount Horeb, and the Lord met him there. First, there was a mighty wind. The rocks went rolling down the hill, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. Then there was a mighty earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. Then the mountain was on fire. The Lord wasn't in the fire. And after that, there was a still, small voice, and Elijah heard. Do we take the time? Do we remove enough noise from us, from our physical ears, so that our inner being can hear the still, small voice of God speaking to us? I think that's something we want to continue to develop a sensitive spiritual ears that hears God speaking. In James 1:19 says, "Let every man be swift to hear." The idea is to be an eager learner, to hear. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. This morning I'm up here and I'm making sound waves. Guess that's part of my role right now. But it's important that we are eager learners, where we take in from other people, from God, from our surroundings. God wants us to be eager learners. In Isaiah 50, two verses here that I'd like to read. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And so the Lord, he wants to awaken our ear so that we can hear the way he wants us to hear. In the New Defender Study Bible, has a comment about "the Lord God hath opened my ear." It says the opening of his ear was in reference to the boring of a hole in the ear of a servant willing to remain with the master instead of claiming his freedom. And it's symbolic of listening only to the word of his Lord. Do we allow the Lord to bore our ear, so to speak? That puts a mark on our ear that says, my ears are tuned to what my master says. and I will listen only to things that are approved by him. Let's have our ears tuned. May I say this? All of us have our ears tuned to our master. The question is, who is our master? All who hear me this morning, you have been given ears to hear. And you have the ability to understand what God wants to speak to you as your hearts are turned towards him. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so I just invite all of us to be eager learners, to continue to develop hearing skills, not necessarily, maybe physically might be included, and I've got some learning to do in that, but I'm thinking especially of the spiritual listening skills that are needful for a close walk with our Master, with Jesus Christ. Shall we bow and pray? Well, Father in heaven, this morning we are grateful that you have given us ears to hear. And help us to apply ourselves to learning, to hearing from you, from the brotherhood, from your spirit, from the surroundings that you put us in, and help us to learn and understand the things that you want to teach us. Lord, I thank you for the way that you have created our physical bodies in a marvelous way, and the way you created our ears to capture the sound waves and transfer that to the brain where we can process and understand and perceive things around us. Help us to be wise in what we listen to and how we hear. Lord, we glorify you. You are worthy of honor, glory, and praise, and we give that to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite others to come forward to sing again, and I'd welcome a few more people to come up and sing with us and just spread out up here a bit. So.